The first easy to do technique that is going to always be a winner, it's going to always succeed to a certain extent, is using a very simple technique with your breath. I am well aware that if you've been looking at, for example, programs and classes and techniques for meditation, you will see some pretty detailed steps about how you're supposed to meditate. And I find that, quite frankly, pretty gosh darn overwhelming. I really can't quite keep all that in mind when I meditate. I seem to always go into this weird, altered state. And so meditation is a great deal about breathing or the breath. And so they are giving you all sorts of really detailed instructions of, do you do it through your nose? Do you do it through your mouth, et cetera, et cetera? Where do you put your tongue? I mean, I've seen some details that just overwhelm me, and I don't do it. Now, there's a second little side note that I want to offer you about the value of meditation. Is it valuable? Yes, of course it is. There is, however, a challenge with expecting that meditation is going to be the end-all for reducing your anxiety. And here it is. It is true that when you meditate on a regular basis, you bring your body into a place of rest and relaxation, which means that your body is producing naturally those delicious hormones of serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine that enable you to directly see a relief of whatever neurological symptoms you might currently be experiencing. That's why many persons diagnosed with Parkinson's symptoms find that meditation is just such a wonderful option in terms of a therapy to embrace every day, if not two or three times a day. So it's great. The downside, however, is quite interesting. Yes, when you meditate, you do see that you are encouraging your body to produce those wonderful, nourishing hormones. However, once you finish meditating, if in fact you get up and all of a sudden you get a phone call from a friend or family member and they are in distress, they've been out in their car and had a flat tire, or they've been in an accident, or a friend has just been diagnosed with a horrible disease, or you basically are all of a sudden hearing some news or confronting a situation that is stressful, what happens is you immediately turn on those other hormones of adrenaline and cortisol, those fight or flight hormones. Now, those are the ones that override the rest and relaxation hormones. They literally begin to pump out, and here's the rub. The adrenaline and the cortisol hormones will circulate around your body for as long as 2 days. Okay, what about those wonderful relaxation hormones that you were able to facilitate the production of when you were meditating? Those serotonins, those melatonins, and of course those dopamine hormones. How long do they hang around in your body? Unfortunately, not long at all. We're talking here minutes rather than hours or even days. So in the end, what I'm recommending to each of you in terms of getting a sustained reduction in anxiety is to adopt some regular routines of being able to do something that's simple and easy and do it when all of a sudden you're confronted with stressful situations. Now, the first particular technique is a technique that I think is easy to do, the way I explain it. When you breathe, you want to simply take the in-breath that will be a little less than the out-breath. In other words, the exhale of the air is going to take longer than the inhale. Now, if you go across lots of recommendations on meditation, you'll hear some recommendations will say, inhale to the count of four.
One, two, three, four.
Hold it for just a second, and then exhale to the count of six. One, two, three, four, five, six. So you'll hear counts of two and six or four and eight or different kind of numbers are given. What's the big picture here? Well, actually, it's not a question so much of having to count the number of inhales or the number of exhales. The key is that the exhale, the release, is longer than the inhale. The inhale is taking in, it's getting excited, and the exhale is relaxing. It's part of the life cycle of what keeps us churning on and our motor running day in and day out. How about simply doing that right now? So just pay attention. And again, I don't want to say you've got to put your tongue anywhere or breathe with your nose or your mouth. Don't make it complicated. This is really simple. All you do is you breathe in and then breathe out. Now notice what I just did was my breath out was really quite a bit longer than my breath in. And I instantly felt and noticed a pretty quick relaxation response. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not totally unanxious. I'm, after all, doing the explaining here. I've got a kind of a one-way conversation, so I don't want to chill out and relax altogether. I'll probably lose my place. And yet, I noticed pretty instantly when I did that just one time that my level of anxiousness was a bit relieved. And of course, I can do that as many times as I feel are necessary. So to explain this particular approach, the idea is breath in and then a longer breath out.